tuning into the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
I love that every time I hear it. I always love it. Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Survivor Worlds Apart on AfterBuzz. We're recapping no collar, blue collar, red collar, although now they're kind of two tribes. Now it's Nakarote and Escamecha, so we don't have to worry about it. My name is Nando Velasquez. You can find me on Twitter at NandoVel. And James and Keaton are both out today, but luckily I'm not doing a solo show. Yes, let me introduce you to someone, another passionate Survivor fan, Jeff Thurm.
Hello, everybody. I'm Jeff Thurm. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Jeff_Thurm. Happy to be joining you today.
Yeah, awesome. And you have some reality show. You do a couple of shows here on AfterBuzz, including Reality Reunion.
Reality Reunion. I host a sit-down interview series here, and I also work in production on reality shows. So reality television is my world.
Beautiful. Yeah. Love it. So just to show that we have experienced people always here. You know, we never know what we're going to expect sometimes. But I promised this season we would have a consistent weekly show on Survivor, and we are continuing that trend. So thanks, guys, for tuning in. And I believe we are live.
We're
in Studio A, so you can go and join in on the discussion at YouTube, and we just tweeted it out. It's not tweeted. Just follow AfterBuzz TV, and you should get the address to jump on the YouTube channel. And also, if you want to tweet at us at all, you can use the hashtag #ABTVSurvivor. And you can continue the conversation, not just for today, but during the week.
Keep it going. Let us know your thoughts.
So let's talk about this episode. This was such a good episode.
Yes.
Odd Woman Out was the name of the episode.
Yes.
Referring mainly to, I'm guessing, Sierra, although it didn't seem to be much about her.
Could have been Shireen as well.
Or Shireen. Or Shireen, actually. You know what? Absolutely. It was probably about Shireen. Kind of about both. I just figured because of the end result. But actually, let us start talking about Shireen, because she was the Odd Woman Out. And you haven't been on this show, so
I
on this after show at least, I think that we've given Shireen a bit of a hell. She's just was weird, monkey sex.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm sure you probably can understand.
I mean, the monkey sex to me, honestly, was kind of like, what else are you going to do out there? Like, you get so bored. That was funny. I think the way they overplayed it was a bit much, but I was, you know, in agreement with them when. With how annoying she and Max
her edit at least seemed incredibly annoying, and Max's didn't seem so annoying to me until last week, right before he got the boot.
I agree.
Yeah,
but I also knew that it was going to be perfect television as soon as the tribes merged, because maybe on white collar she wasn't so annoying, but as soon as that personality clashes with the blues and the no collars, I was like, she's doomed.
Yeah,
even the white collars didn't love her that much, but then I was like, it was downhill.
Well, it's really interesting because we see her coming back, and she's a very, very different person.
Yeah.
You know, some people when they get blindsided or they see votes against them, you know, they get a little paranoid. She got very reflective, and she just wanted to know why, and she was very quiet, and she seemed to really listen and very compassionate.
I really liked what she said in one of her confessionals or interviews or whatever, when she said, "This reminds me a lot like growing up in Orange County when I wasn't one of the pretty girls." And then, because she was talking to Haley, and she was like, "I wasn't one of the pretty girls growing up, and I was surrounded by all these beautiful, skinny girls, and now I'm not one of them, but this time I'm going to be different, and this time I'm going to change and adapt."
Yeah.
And it was really seeing her like, all right, what I was doing before wasn't working. Now I'm going to go ahead and do something, and I think it's going to be good for her.
Yeah, what I took out of that speech, and I think that was a big, you know, character-defining speech.
Totally.
Where we got to see her be vulnerable and open. You know, she was just, in the past couple of weeks, she's just quirky and odd and weird. And she was the super fan, and she was definitely psyched, and she had a little bit of the crazy eyes, and she had her tops down, her bottoms off. And, you know, there was certain little craziness about about her. But, you know, one thing that she said, I think it was in last week's show, it might have been the week before, when she was talking about Joaquin in particular, about, you know, because he didn't like her at all. Mm-hmm. And she said, I love the fact that he's fueled by rage because he can't adapt. He can't maneuver. And what I'm noticing from Shireen right now is her adapting. And she said, I've got to adapt. I think she had that exact quote. I've got to adapt. And I think that's a brilliant, you know,
so
attitude.
So smart of her to be able to realize that. And it's going to really, really, really affect her game. Yeah. It already did.
She said, I got to deal with it, adapt, and fix it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, she confronted Carolyn. Carolyn was really interesting because I read some of the exit interviews with Max, and I guess he felt that even though he might have been annoying, he felt the reason why he went home was because back in the first episode when So got kicked out, Carolyn had two votes against her, and Carolyn found out that from Joaquin that Max told Joaquin to vote for Carolyn. So whether that's something we didn't get to really experience on the show, but I noticed that she just said how she doesn't trust. It wasn't Shireen, you're crazy. You know, the monkey sex, the singing the national anthem. It was I don't trust you.
Yeah.
So I feel like Max's story from his exit interview might be ringing true. And she's talking about how Max was the ringleader and Max got everyone else to fall in line. She didn't say that specifically, Shireen, but she made it sound like that she was she was Max's puppet.
Whether she was or wasn't, I think to play that card is huge, that he was, you know, brainwashing her or making her do all these things so that now she can, like she says, adapt and become someone else's puppet so she can help other people out. But
well, yeah, I mean, I'm digging this new Shireen so far. I mean, we'll talk a little bit more about her, but she's nice and calm, and she seems to be, you know, not reacting, or she seems to be maybe reacting in a way, but very contemplative and just noticing things now as opposed to just blurting out.
I think
stories.
She got too comfortable when she had Max. She was comfortable. She had him.
I agree.
And now she's all alone and she's like, I gotta get someone.
I actually think they were both each other's poison because they were two super fans that were just wanted to hang out on the side and go, oh my God, do you remember what happened in Africa or in the Amazon?
Right.
And they were just, they were just two peas in a pod, but it was weird. And I think that if Shireen was voted out and Max was in this position, I think Max would have, I'd like to think Max would have been similarly adapting to what happened.
Can only imagine.
Can only imagine. I mean, it's a coulda, woulda, shoulda right now, but Max is out. And of course, you know, Nagarote got rid of what I thought last week was probably their strongest member, because Will is winded very easily from the past couple episodes. It just seems like Will just gets tired very easily.
Very easily.
And the rest of the women, I mean, there's some strong women there, but you put them pound for pound, literally and figuratively, against Escameca, and it just seems a bit lopsided.
Yeah.
You know?
The two teams are definitely not, I mean, I thought.
At least without looking forward, I'm just setting it up. But getting rid of Max was interesting. Let's talk about Escamilla and then we'll definitely talk about, cause this was amazing.
It was a big episode.
This was a big episode. Challenge wise for Nagarote was amazing. It was awesome. But let's talk a little bit about Escamilla, because it was really funny seeing this bromance.
This bromance.
Hashtag bromance. I think one of the only hashtags last night.
This forced bromance. Like, Joaquin, or Rodney went on the show going, like, I want a Survivor bromance. Like, he seeked this Survivor bromance, and he got it with Joaquin.
Yeah.
And I just, the things that they said about Mike were just so funny to me. And what did Rodney say? First he says, like, watch, I'm about to change the game. Or he says some big statement about how he's going to take control of the game. And he's so cocky and full of himself. And then he goes on to how he and Joaquin are the perfect players because they love girls, they love potties,
we love the potty.
My family's from Boston, so like nothing against the Boston accent. But
I loved it though. What was he said? Rodney said, we work hard and we potty harder.
Yeah. And that's why you're going to win Survivor. No. And they don't trust Mike because he goes to church every Sunday while they're having Sunday fun day. He doesn't trust him because he hasn't had sex in 8 years.
Yeah.
And he doesn't trust him because he goes to church.
I will say, I mean, the sex in 8 years might be a little weird just because, you know, maybe they think he's wound up. He is wound up a little tight at times. But the church thing.
The church
was
thing
like,
is the first person I'm going to trust. the churchgoer is the first person I'm going to get.
Because you
my
figure
side.
He's always going to be his word,
right?
Well, you assume as much. We've seen it in other reality shows where the Christian ends up being the backstabber, and you're like, how can you? And then you see in the final jury, questions like, how can you claim to be a Christian when you backstabbed your alliance?
Right.
So it happens. So I can understand that a little bit. You know, look, they're very like minds. In fact, you could argue they might share a mind,
yeah.
But very like minds,
mind.
Half a mind. It's I can't remember which one said it. Maybe it was Joaquin. It was like, you know, it's like Red Sox and Yankees teaming up.
Yeah,
you know?
it's interesting to see the survivor like stereotype of power duos, power couples mm-hmm. getting broken up immediately. I mean, after Max and Shireen last week, and we don't have to get too far into this week, but you know, you got to be careful about.
Well, you know, what happens is you get too comfortable in this game with somebody. And you might not be aware of it, you know. The thing that we're seeing, while especially Rodney. Sometimes I got to say, Rodney's like a girl. I mean, the way he talks and bitches and moans and everything.
Yeah.
He's like, I mean, the thing with Mike was all like gossiping, like his little thing, like blah 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 blah. And it was just a little annoying to me. But the fact is, Rodney doesn't hide. I mean, he's just loud.
Yeah.
So everyone sees this bromance going on, and to Joaquin's credit, you know, Joaquin. Sometimes he's a little too chill. Like, he's like the lion. He doesn't like to exert too much energy.
Well,
you know? He just, like, waits. I mean, he's strong and agile, and I know the women love him. I know Keaton loved him and everything like that. He's good to look at, I guess. But we'll get into Joaquin later. I just feel like, Rodney kind of messed it all up. Joaquin would have played it cool. He was even trying to, like, play it cool and get Sierra over.
It was everyone, yeah.
But Rodney was just like, you're my bud. There was a great scene when they're both, like, waving their hands.
At the exact same time. It was so good. Rodney and Frank, too. Dan. I always call him Frank for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be too loud of a personality.
Yeah.
You got to be careful. But
I think when you're 24/7 in the island, your true self comes out, and they both are. And I think with Dan is Dan's another one that I think can be self-aware. He unlike Shireen, maybe in this case at least, he sometimes steps in it and then realizes, oh, I just stepped in it.
Yeah.
But he kind of is a little self-aware, and I think self-awareness. Probst has even said it in one of his Dalton interviews on EW that self-awareness is really key.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Rodney's as self-aware.
No, not at all.
I don't think he has self-awareness.
He doesn't have awareness.
But yeah, I mean, you know, it's funny. Boston and New York teaming up, and it just seemed a lot like Jersey Shore to me.
Yeah.
But you know, and interesting too. I mean, Rodney thinks they can get Sierra over. And then Tyler said he'll have to force him. And Rodney's got it all planned up. He's going to group with these people, then backstab them, and he's going to own this game.
This plan to blindside Joe had me on the edge of my seat my whole time. I mean,
oh yeah,
Joe is like by far the strongest, best competitor.
Well, I will say he did notice that. Yeah, let's talk about before we get to Joe,
okay?
Because Joe really wasn't he wasn't relevant in this episode until the end, at least.
Right.
Let's talk about the reward. Let's just talk about these challenges in general because, look, I just said it before. I set it up. You know, we have and we saw it last week. I think everyone could agree these teams look mismatched. And then you take Max out of the equation on Nagarote, and you just feel like they have a bigger hole to climb out of. And yet, you know, this the reward challenge, first of all, you know, that was pretty big, I think, for Escameca to lose because, you know, I don't think they give a crap about turtles, you know, laying eggs at all. They just, you know, they heard beef stew and mac and cheese.
Yeah.
And that's what gets people, you know, hearts pumping.
Right. And, I had no idea about the turtles, by the way. I didn't know that that's how they laid eggs. And I was, like, for, like, a Planet Earth-type moment, was, like, really fascinated by that. So that was really cool.
I give credit to – I think most – I don't know. I was looking at some of the faces, and some of it obviously is edited.
Yeah.
You know, it looked like Joe looked excited, but it looked like Jen looked bored in one of the shots that they were – when he was talking about the turtles.
But Jen had a great line when she was like, you know what? Like, I have – because they said that turtles only have a 1 in 120 chance of living.
Oh, yeah.
And she was like, I have a better chance at winning defending survivor, then a turtle has it living. Because the turtle has a 120 chance, and I have a 1 in 14 chance.
She's already living. So she's like, a 1 in 1 chance yeah. of living.
But she's 1 in 14 chance of surviving.
To survive, yeah, to get $1 million. And really, you know, some people might say better than that. She's looking pretty good in general. But let's talk about this reward challenge right beforehand, just because, I mean, what do you think about this challenge? Do you think this challenge was geared more toward Nagarote, and that's why they won? Do you think, what do you think?
I definitely think, well, once they got to the top, I mean, getting to the top wasn't that hard. I mean, we saw...
It didn't seem like it.
We saw... What's his name?
Rodney?
Rodney.
Like the first one, because Rodney was the first one to shoot. They kept showing him leading the way. Yeah. It was him and Joaquin up front.
They got up to the top really, really fast.
Yeah.
But then once it came time to targets, I mean, that's when, mm-hmm. That's not necessarily strength over endurance or anything. That's kind of like having good aim and anything. So once they got to the top, I really thought it was anyone's game, and it was.
Yeah.
Getting to the top, obviously Eskimeca got to the top really, really quickly.
Yeah.
But they lost their lead mm-hmm. pretty fast.
Well, Rodney struggled a bit, and I think Mike was the one that really struggled, if I remember correctly, from that challenge, too, in trying to shoot. I actually thought this was geared toward Eskimeca. I thought this was Eskimeca's, match to lose, just because it takes a lot of strength to bring that slingshot back. Mm-hmm. So I thought with some of the women, forgive me, I just thought that the distance looked really far from my vantage point. So I just felt like it would have been tougher. You would have had to use a lot of extra strength to get those last couple. Like maybe the strategy would have to have Will or one of the stronger women, like Jen, obviously going mm-hmm. for the farther ones. But no, they handled it really well. I guess it wasn't as far as I thought, so forgive me.
It seemed a lot of them did it a lot easier than I expected.
Yeah.
It didn't take many chances mm-hmm. that we saw. At least maybe they edited it out.
Those things could be longer than we realized.
Exactly. But I think maybe there's some sort of like psychological thing with, men being stronger physically if they're just like shooting and not aiming, and women like actually paying attention to the focus and the target and actually aiming towards it.
Yeah.
Maybe there's some sort of male versus female thing there.
We're just speculating. Forgive us if we, but I could see the point.
I'm not
trying
to come off sexist by saying that men have a better chance at slingshots. But.
Well, just like I said, the farther the distance, the more energy needed to pull.
Right.
But at the same time, there could be something said for using so much energy after a certain point that you're not focusing on accuracy.
Right.
So there's also that. So, I mean, kudos. I thought it was a really well-done challenge. We've seen some of these elements before. The tower itself has been used before. But really good. And look, I think even Nagarote was a little shocked. I mean, they were chanting, I can't believe that we can win. I can't believe that we can win. I believe that we can win. I was reading chant as can. I believe that we can win. So
they were stoked.
They were pretty damn. It was like they won the World Series. Talking about Boston, New York, they were really excited at that one. And I think the most important thing for them winning was people like Rodney, who kind of need that protein, who feel they do because they're, buff and everything, mm-hmm. Joaquin even. It takes away an element of a reward for them that they really need probably more.
Yeah.
Only in a sense of sustenance for their physiques.
Yeah.
It's
true.
If for no other reason. And of course,
what they're used to.
Nagarota gets to eat, so they get to love that. And yeah, we talked a little bit about the turtles. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, that's cool.
I mean, the one thing I love about Survivor, I'm a city boy, and I've gone camping, I can count the times I've gone camping on one hand. So when I see really cool things like that, when I'm hearing the description by Jeff and he's like, it's going to be amazing, I'm like, okay, whatever. Yeah. And then you see it, I'm like, all right, that was pretty cool.
Amazing.
That would be cool to see in person, I would think.
I guess at first when I thought that was the only reward, I was like, that's the reward. And then they mentioned all the food, and I mean, they're loving.
Yeah.
Their beef stew and that mac and cheese
and the hot chocolate. Yeah. We'll love the hot chocolate.
But like a big, heavy mac and cheese, I can't really imagine eating. Like, wouldn't that just make you feel awful? Like, after.
Yeah,
like,
well.
While living in the desert, to have this, like, heavy, cheesy mac and cheese.
I could totally see that.
Clearly didn't affect them, but.
Well, we don't know if it would have affected them because, we'll talk about the immunity challenge. I guess we could talk about the immunity challenge because that was, not a physical challenge. So at least, which is probably good news for both teams because at least Eskimeca doesn't have to whine that they haven't been eating. It's memory. You still mm-hmm. need brain power. You still need
need to be focused.
Yeah.
And that doesn't seem to be and it seems like that's an even trait for both teams.
Yeah.
You know, I think if it's overly physical, then it kind of like draws to Escameca. But if it's something that's more brain power or something involving focus, you know, it's something I think both teams are somewhat capable of doing.
Well, that's kind of when the collars fit in, you know, like the white collars are like probably really good at being able to pay attention to detail. The no collars are probably a little bit worse at it. So it would have been interesting if we
think so?
Yeah.
You think that if this was separated into three tribes, that it would be more of a white collar trait than a no collar? Because I don't agree 100% with that.
I think so.
Yeah. Because I could see, I think no collars are good at seeing, I mean, this was great when the first
the puzzle challenge.
I think they can see the whole picture really well. I think white collars might be more detailed.
Mm-hmm.
And blue collars, I'm not sure.
I'm not sure either.
I'm not sure about blue, but I would think out of the three, I would think blue collars would fare the least out of the three of them. But
yeah.
I think it would be white collar, red collar, white collar, no collar, blue collar in that order. Tell us what you think. Let us know. Let us know on YouTube or whatever. I was trying to get on YouTube on here, but my Wi-Fi is kind of crapping out. So if you guys are talking on YouTube, please continue the conversation. We'll catch up in a little bit. So the one interesting thing about this, and look, it's happened before, and I think everyone knows that it's not a good thing to do, is there was talk about throwing the challenge.
Right.
By Escameca, because Rodney and Joaquin wanted to, they thought it was the best way to get rid of Joe. This happens sometimes, I think, when tribes feel overconfident.
Mm-hmm.
and feel they can compete and win these challenges.
And when there's certain people on those teams that think that they are already running the whole show.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, and usually when a team throws a challenge, it's usually disastrous. It ruins all momentum. But here we are again. Rodney and Joaquin, because of their little bromance, they're thinking, let's throw this thing. We can get rid of Joe. And, but Rodney's talking to Dan and Mike about it, because he's just trying to get everyone on the same page
right.
to get rid of Joe. What do you think?
And, well, Mike does it for a very interesting reason, which I found fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his alliance with Kelly from the very beginning, he wanted to throw the challenge in order to make sure that Kelly is safe.
Yeah.
So he was down to throw the challenge, not to get rid of Joe, but to ensure Kelly's safety
mm-hmm.
so that when the teams merge, he has Kelly's back still. And that kind of threw me for a loop. I was, like, shocked when he said that. I mean,
oh, really?
To think of, yeah.
I think it was kind of smart. That's why I threw you, because it was Mike being smart.
Well, no, it throws me to get any sort of insight into how these people are really playing.
Yeah.
So much of the show is about making us guess or assume what might happen, and then it happening, you know, differently, like... Going into the tribal council, I genuinely didn't know who they were going to vote for. I didn't know which way Sierra was going to go. They're very good about making Sierra seem like she might go this way, she might go that way.
Yeah.
So when you get a real insight, like Mike saying, I'm going to throw the challenge, but it's for Kelly, and you get to like really get inside their brains as they're playing and mm-hmm. not just like for TV, I thought it was really interesting.
Mm.
So I was just kind of like, oh, yeah, there is other strategy outside of this.
Well, it's really good strategy, obviously, I think, to worry about, you know, the makeup of the other team.
Mm-hmm.
And I can understand Mike thinking that Kelly was going to be out because she was the only blue collar in Nagarote. So I can understand that mentality. And I think if I was in his shoes, too, and my one person in my alliance was over there, I mean, it would be really, you know... it would be really intellectual and really, like, looking that far ahead and realizing maybe that Kelly's a swing vote and she's not in danger.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't know that.
You don't know anything.
You don't know that at all. So I think it was a smart move. If you're going to throw a challenge, I guess that's a good reason. However, I mean, the way that he, I say they, because I feel like Kelly was trying to throw the challenge too. The way that that went down was so ridiculous. That
he looked so dumb. I'm surprised. Someone had to have said something. I'm surprised they edited out anyone complaining about how dumb he was, because everyone else got it on the first try.
Yeah,
I think maybe one other person had to try a second time.
Well, at least one person got it right on every try. I think.
The first time.
And, yeah, because they didn't show both people. They just got the first person
right,
got
right,
to the
right,
map
right,
they
right,
showed.
Right.
Yeah.
And he just, like, if I had gone back to camp after losing that, I would have immediately been like, all right, we're all voting Mike out because he obviously just messed this up for all of us. Like, Mike's literally the reason they lost. I would have just been like, see ya, dude.
Well, I actually thought that Mike might get kicked out too, because, but not because of that necessarily, because I just felt that he was so obvious in trying to save Kelly. He was like, I'm going to point him out, I'm going to say them out loud, and you just pay attention. And I didn't know. We heard it because of microphones, but I felt that it was still, you know, we were looking at the shot from a distance, and it looked just so obvious.
I agree.
To see him point it out. And if I was on his tribe, I would, you know, even if I was a blue collar, I think I would question what's going on there.
Okay, so Joaquin and Rodney knew that he was going to, that they wanted to throw the challenge. So I guess from their perspective, he was doing what they said.
Yeah.
Dan was aware that the challenge was trying to be thrown, and Dan probably just going along. So I guess really the only person he has to worry about is Joe. Joe thinking he's an idiot and trying to be obvious, because I guess all four other people knew that he was trying to throw it. So at the end of the day, maybe the other guys are like, well, at least we have him. He's on our side because he's willing to throw it no matter how obvious he's being about it.
Yeah.
But even with him being obvious, Kelly still had trouble. Like, maybe that brain injury, that head injury, like, affected her more than we think.
Because Kelly is a police officer. She's an undercover cop. So I would have assumed that Kelly has observational skills for this. Now, look, you know what? These guys have been out at this point. What, this is episode 5, so this is 16. Every 3 days. 16 days, right? Yeah, 16 days. So, yeah, and you're not eating that well and probably not sleeping that well. And, yeah, she's dealing with a mild head injury, six stitches.
Mild, yeah.
Six stitches. We don't know if there was a concussion, but we definitely know she had six stitches. Yeah. So I'll give her that. But yeah, really, if and look, I love Mike, nothing against Mike, but really, if you're taking a test, like an intellectual test with Mike, and you're not beating him right away, it doesn't make you look good either.
I know. But
anyway,
I mean, I don't know how the partnering up happens. I don't know if it is each one of their choices to go. I don't know if the producers were like, make sure Mike and Kelly go together. I don't know how that works. I don't know how involved the producers get. But, like, was it luck that Mike got to go with Kelly? Was Mike waiting for Kelly to go? Because it seemed a little fishy that they were both last and they were both together.
It was just perfect. Yeah, it was just perfect the way it was set up.
My guess is that he was probably just, like, waiting in the background until Kelly was going to go, and then that's when he was going to jump in.
It's possible. I don't know.
Maybe they went, like, first or second. No. Maybe they went first or second and the producers made them go last. Who knows?
I don't know how they, you know, sometimes they do schoolyard picks. Sometimes it's just by chance. Sometimes they strategically do it. I don't know. But interesting. Anyway, hey, I just got on the chat room there. So I just want to do shout outs before we talk about Escameca's plotting and tribal. Thanks, guys, for tuning in. Saul Perez, AJ Adams, Dan Clayton, Sheena123, Clark Espinosa. Let's see. What else we got here? Ian Kevin. I can say all these names. This is awesome. Love My Shoes 83.
I love your shoes too.
Well, and Love My Shoes spotted on New York City subway today. Courtney Yates from Survivor China looked the same as ever, but very into the sexy man she was riding with. Good to know. Good to know.
Thanks, Gossip Girl.
Yeah, thanks. LaVisa Cosgrave. And I think that's, I think I got just about everyone. There's multiple ones from some of you guys. But thank you so much for tuning in. I want to read some of these, but I also want to get going. Let's talk about Escameca. All right, we talked a little bit about the plan. Now, Joe, I gotta be honest with you, I didn't think Joe was gonna go home only because they gave him so little screen time in the past 2 weeks since they've done the swap. Yeah, since they've done the two tribe thing.
I think Joe's doing exactly what he needs to do and stay as under the radar as possible.
Yeah.
Because in the first, I forget the guy's name that he went up against in the no-collar tribe, but Joe was so adamant about, like, he wasn't trying to be the alpha male, but he just was because he was just good at everything.
Oh, with Vince. You mean back in No Collar, yeah.
So I think that was a very good experience for him to have, for him to be like, because I don't think at any point Joe is trying to be a douchebag or to be rude by being like, no, this is how you build a fire. This is how you do this. This is how you do this. Whereas Vince, I think, was trying to be like, I'm the leader. But I think he learned his lesson. Like, I got to be careful of the alpha males. And I think Joe wanted to come in with such other strong alpha male personalities. Joe was just like, I'm going to sit this one back.
Yeah.
I'm going to get Rodney and Joaquin and Mike and Dan and all of them just kind of like do their thing. And I'm just going to sit here patiently, be a good competitor.
I think that's incredibly smart, and that's what I was guessing or ascertaining from his edit, at least, or the way they were showing him, was that he was hanging back because it's a group of alpha males and some strong personalities, and he was doing best by just hanging back and waiting for the merge, probably so he can reunite with at least his no caller, mm-hmm. and then hopefully they would keep an alliance with him. But you know, it seems like he was just playing too strong the first couple of weeks or the first couple of challenges, because he had a target on his back already, mm-hmm. and he's the odd one out anyway. He's the odd one out from no caller. So both, you know, Joaquin and Tyler from White Collar and the Blue Collars were kind of eyeing him, but and probably if Rodney did a better job of hiding his bromance, maybe Joe would have been out, honestly. But there was a threat, and the threat was the threat was pretty much to the threat was the power couple. And you know, Rodney tried to get Dan on board, but Dan went right up to Joe and pretty much said no. They want to vote you out.
Yeah.
So they pretty much brought Joe on their side. And
so smart.
Now, let me ask you this. So here's a question. Rodney, we've seen, is a powder keg. And they even said, if we get rid of Joaquin, Rodney is going to go ballistic.
Yeah.
They said that. What do you think? Do you think the smarter choice was to get rid of Joaquin, or do you think the smarter choice was to get rid of Rodney?
I cannot believe that Rodney is still in this game.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I thought Rodney was going to go 2 tribal councils ago. I can't believe that he's still here. Mm-hmm. He is going to explode next week,
yeah.
But we'll save that for predictions. Mm-hmm. I was kind of surprised. I really think I think Joaquin would have been the smarter person to save, because I think...
I mean, he's still got Tyler in his corner, too. That's the thing. But I'm just curious to see. Because, I mean, you know, I just feel that Rodney can cause more problems down the line, long term.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. I was never a fan of Joaquin's, just because on the very first day he showed up in his full business suit. I was like, "Who? You're in a suit on Survivor? I don't trust
well,
you."
Well, in all fairness, the producers might have been like, "We want you to look white collar." Coming
on
as white collar as possible going in. So,
but
yeah.
I look like he just like came from his bottle service at a club somewhere in Hollywood. And
yeah. I mean, to his defense, I think there's that. So, I mean, that's the one question, first of all. And then the other question is, you're Sierra. And who do you, you hate every single person on your tribe, apparently, because they got rid of Lindsay. But, you know, your choices are Rodney or Dan.
The emotional roller coaster of being on a show like this has got to be so insane. From going to crying, to feeling all alone and that everyone is out to get you,
mm-hmm.
to knowing the power that you're the swing vote and whatever you do decides. Like, it is so crazy to
yeah.
me. Like, she was the decision maker and she knew that.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to hold that power, even if it, however much longer it lasts, to know that power and be like, I'm going to make the decision tonight. But
it took her, I don't know if it was her edit or what, but it took her a while, because, you know, most people with a swing vote, they're like really loving it, but she was dreading it because she felt like she was making a deal with the devil either side. But I would have thought,
I think what helped in this situation was that Joe was the person on the other side. And I think she likes Joe. I think that they have something. Joe's the only person that she doesn't hate.
Yeah.
So I think the idea of being stuck without Joe, was kind of, you know, the saving grace there. It's like, I don't want to partner with Rodney, but I don't want to partner with Dan.
Mm-hmm.
But if I partner with Rodney, that means Joe's gone. But if I partner with Dan, I get to keep Joe. And I think Joe was her saving grace.
Because she liked Joe?
I think Joe's the only person on her team she can stand.
Mm.
So if she partnered with the other people, both are lose-lose. But if she partnered with Rodney,
okay.
that's rid of Joe, and that's the one person I think that she likes.
I just thought it was weird because obviously her and Lindsay were against Rodney, and they really wanted him out. And of course, the team blindsided her, so I figured she had issues with Rodney just based on that whole argument that Lindsay and him were having. But then Dan obviously doesn't know how to apologize.
Terrible apology.
Terrible apology. Was just totally telling her how she wasn't, you know, doing her job there and just talking down to her. So, again, it's like, you know, who do you side with? But
she sided with Joe.
She's a little bit of I will say this about her. She's a little bit of an emotional player.
Yeah.
You know, she doesn't really hide her, her distaste.
That.
I think she knows that, but it definitely can be a detriment. I mean, everyone kind of knew last week, the second all the other blue collars knew the second they walked off the beach and she was alone with Tyler, Joaquin, and Joe. She just bitched about her old tribe, And we saw her do that a little bit this episode too, talking about how she threw her buff the second she knew there was going to be a switch. She's at least in a really powerful position at this point. We know it's coming up. I don't want to say it because in case people don't watch next week's show preview. But we know that she's in a position where she's got like five more guys now that are all, you know, vying for each other. Mm-hmm. So she definitely is a swing vote. I just wish she'd be a better person about being a swing vote.
Well, she said, like something like, some people play with their head, other people play with their hearts. I play with both, and I think that's what's going to affect me in this game. She knows that she's being an emotional player, and she knows it's going to affect her.
Okay.
But she made the right decision.
Positively and negatively. Yeah. But yeah, she made I think overall they made the right decision to get rid of Joaquin. I mean, look, it's 50-50. It's a card flip. I'm a little surprised that Joaquin's gone, to be honest with you. Yeah. I felt like they were teasing him to be something.
I didn't really see where that came from. Like, I thought Rodney was such the obvious choice.
Yeah.
Like, all of a sudden they were like, when I knew it was going to be either Rodney or Joaquin or Joe, I was like, I was shocked that it was Joaquin and not Rodney. Like,
yeah. It's just so interesting because his interviews before the season started, he just seemed to me like he'd be a villain. And the opening dilemma, he was like, let's deceive. Mm-hmm. So I felt like he had this villainous way. But again, he kind of like never really, to me, it was like the best thing I could think of, and I guess this is a compliment, is he's kind of like a lion just hanging out. And you know that when he exerts energy, it'll be powerful, mm-hmm. but he just never really did. He was just kind of like hanging out, just looking for girls maybe, and he didn't really have any pretty girls after Sil left, so he just kind of chilled chilled with Tyler and bitched at Shireen a little bit.
Started a bromance,
and that was about it.
Maybe getting rid of Joaquin is the move in order to shake. Maybe they want Rodney to go off I don't know.
Well, but. I mean, the good thing about having someone like, always the good thing about having somebody that's so acidic to a tribe or causing, you know, so much, you know, just so much trouble is you want to keep him for the jury. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to keep him in the final two or three. But I think Rodney's a little too dangerous and you got to be careful because you never know who he's going to sway. And especially with some of the other personalities there. Let's talk about, now we joked about this in week one and I love this. So we joked in week one. Oh, thank you. You wrote it, but you can read it. We joked in week one that if Joaquin got voted out, it would be really, really funny to see all the different spellings that they have. And only one person out of the four people that voted for him actually got the vote right, actually got his name right. I don't know if you guys want to play this on the chat room before I say it, but I thought it was really hilarious. We had one of them had a U instead of an O. And then two of them actually were spelled almost exactly the same, but they were both incorrect, and they both had an E at the end of it.
Which makes me think that those two, like, talked. They're like, yo, dude, I don't know how to spell his name. Like, I think it's with an E. Yeah, it's definitely an E in the
I
end.
Think it's
yeah,
an E
yeah,
at yeah. the end. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Somebody put an accent at the end of the E.
They definitely
brought Joaquin.
It up.
You think they brought it up? Yeah, I could see that.
On the way there, they're like, yo, how do you spell it?
I could totally see it. So, well, in case you guys weren't paying attention to who spelled what, we'll spoil it for you right now. So Joe spelled it with a U, J-U-A-Q-U-I-N, right? But there's an I. There was an
this
I in there.
The right way.
Yeah, that's the right way. So there was an I in there. Yeah, Everything was right except for the U. Joe actually came the closest out of the three wrong ones.
And then maybe he just didn't finish the O. Maybe it was supposed to be an O.
He was in a hurry. He was just so excited to vote him out. And then Dan and Mike got pretty much the same one. Joaquin with an I think it was pretty much correct except the E at the end. So, which I'm guessing if this was France, it would be the feminine Joaquin.
Yeah.
they were pretty much calling Joaquin. They were pretty much calling him a female. But Mike decided to put an extra accent. Isn't he from like the Bayou? Maybe tried to French it up a little bit.
Joaquin. I don't know.
And Sierra was the only one paying attention. She was the only one who knew exactly how to spell Joaquin's name.
And my favorite part of the episode, of the entire episode, my favorite part was the tease when she's spelling J-O, and they tease it. Is she going to say Joe or is she going to say Joaquin?
I love when they do that because it's like, it's perfect when they have these two names that are so similar.
So at first I was with the J.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, who's it going to be? And then they did the O and I was like, oh yeah, they both have an O.
You know what was interesting? You know what was interesting too about one of Max's exit interviews? Max said, Remember when Max said, "Hold up, wait a second, bro," like he pretended to pull the immunity I know, which was kind of a douchey move.
So douchey.
But it was very douchey, actually. But he said the reason why he did that was because I can't remember who it was that he saw writing. Maybe it was Jen, but he said he could tell that it wasn't Will, it was Max by the amount, he could see the hand motions.
Huh.
That he was able to tell it was three letters instead of four. So when he kind of saw that in the, you know, from far away, he knew it was him. He said he whispered to Shireen, "I'm going home." And he pulled that little stunt because he knew he was going home anyway. And he just figured, you know, Survivor moment.
Cool.
Yeah. So
that's cool.
And he was like saying in his exit interview, "If you ever go on Survivor, remember, you can kind of pay attention if you have a certain name at the amount of letters that you see being written down or how."
But someone wrote Joe Cool instead of just Joe, and
true.
Someone else wrote Chef Joe. So
Chef Joe, Joe Cool.
So you got to be careful about that. If you're going on Survivor, don't.
Well, no, actually, that's a pretty smart idea. If you don't want anyone to know exactly what it is, just everyone just write extra letters, extra little drawings, and do little funny things instead of just a straight out name.
Yeah.
That might be cool. Anyway, so I believe that's pretty much it. Did we forget anything on that? I think we got everything.
Yeah, I got it.
All right, cool. So let's move into predictions then.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Okay, guys. So just a nice little warning that I like to do on my other AfterBuzz shows, because I think some people in particular do not want to be spoiled by scenes from next week. Although that's one of my favorite parts.
Totally.
I like seeing that, because also you got to see that in order to see the quick exit confessional.
I also need something to look forward to.
Yeah, something to look forward to. I always like a tease. But I get it. There's some people who don't like it. So this might be the time where you want to tune out for a minute or two if you still want to hear us at the end in case we say something brilliant. But which could happen. It could happen.
But you won't know unless you listen.
But anyway, so the big news from what we saw for next week is the merge.
The merge. Already?
The merge. I feel like it's quick. I feel like it's pretty quick, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, yeah.
I was surprised.
Yeah. So, and right now, I guess let's talk this out. So we have, from Red Collar. I love saying that. No Collar. We've got Will, we got Joe, we got the two guys, and then we've got, Jen and Haley. So we got four on that team.
I'm excited for Haley and Joe to be back together because I want them.
You want a little romance there?
They're both so attractive.
I have a thing for Jen.
So cool.
Yeah. Haley's cool, but I have a thing for Jen for some, I just like her wit. She has a pretty biting style. So we got four on No Collar. For Blue Collar, we've got Kelly, we got the three guys, and we've got Sierra. So they definitely have the most, but of course we see friction between those five.
They are so torn, yeah.
Yeah. And then No Collar is being decimated right now. Right now it's just Carolyn on White Collar with Shireen, and hopefully they'll get along. And then Tyler is all by his lonesome right now, so they're at three. But he's a really cool, I like the way he's been playing his game so far.
Yeah.
He's played a pretty cool game.
Pretty cool.
And I think people feel they can trust him. I think Mike can definitely feels comfortable with him, and Sierra seems to feel comfortable with him.
But he was Joaquin's boy, so I think Rodney thinks he's automatically going to get Tyler. So it's going to be interesting to see if Tyler takes Joaquin's place with Rodney, or if Tyler's going to step back and be like, "I want nothing to do with this."
Yeah.
It'll be interesting.
But we definitely see Rodney kind of blow up. Rodney can't trust his team. He's being a little bit of a wimp. I can't trust my team. After he was going to said he was going to backstab people left and right and own this game.
His face after Joaquin was like set go. Like as soon as Rodney learned that the game was not in his control, his face just said everything. It was great.
I love it when people, I can't give you specific examples, but I love the attitude people have, like, "Oh man, I'm in the perfect alliance and I'm going to backstab them and everything's going to be fine." And all of a sudden things are going, "I can't trust anybody."
Yeah,
it's like, what the hell?
That's so great.
That's what I love about this game. But do you think Rodney is going to, you know, I mean, look, Blue Collar has the most people. If they got together, they could, well, if they got together, if all three tribes were separate but equal or whatever, they probably have the best chance. Do you think Rodney, but all it takes is one person to move to the side and they can be outnumbered. Do you think Rodney could be able to pull people onto his side that aren't?
No.
No?
Nobody wants to be with Rodney.
Hmm.
I think Rodney is screwed.
Okay.
I think he's going to blow up. He's going to blow up in front of everybody. Everyone's going to see his attitude. He's not going to be able to play it cool at all. And I don't think anyone's going to want to get anywhere near that.
Because the one thing that Rodney does have going for him, maybe, is that nobody in Nagarote really has played with him directly except for Kelly. And Kelly seems pretty... Kelly doesn't like the bitch or anything. Kelly just seems pretty
set. As soon as Nagarote is going to be so excited, mm-hmm. No Caller is going to be so excited to have their leader Joe back. Like,
yeah.
I think they like all like pray to Joe, honestly. I do, personally. But I think as soon as Joe's going to give them some insight.
Yeah.
And Joe is going to be able to get all of them against Rodney. The rest of Blue is going to be against Rodney.
So who do you think is going to be the odd one out next week? Who do you think is going to be the first person post-merge?
Rodney.
You think it's going to be Rodney?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I guess that seems like the easiest choice right
because
now.
Because Shireen, I think, is going to be – people are going to realize Shireen and Sierra are in really great spots. Mm-hmm. And they're both going to be swing votes, and people are going to keep them around.
Yeah,
I really think Rodney.
I think Rodney, but I wouldn't be surprised if – I really wouldn't be surprised if there was a female alliance at this point too. Because there's a lot of really strong guys.
Because at this point –
there's a lot of them.
Yeah, at this point they want Will in it because if he can't do any physical challenges, you want someone that can't do physical challenges now, right?
Yeah, at this point in the game, you want to start taking care of the strong guys. You want to take them out if you can. And Rodney definitely fits that bill. Joe fits that bill too. I mean, you know, you never know. I mean, he might have spent enough time away from Nagarote.
I think too much of the rest of the No Color tribe is going to feel.
Okay.
I feel like they're aligned. Their no spear attitude aligns them more than a white collar or blue collar attitude.
Well, I would say if we go by the usual formula, which is you get the strong out immediately after a merge because it's now an individual game and you don't want these guys winning too many immunity challenges, that Rodney and Rodney, Joe, and probably Mike would
Tyler.
Be... I don't know if it's hard to tell. I haven't seen Tyler really. I mean, Tyler looks like he's in shape, but I haven't seen him command anything like Joe. Joe should be next to go.
But I think his no-collar tribe is going to back him up enough. And I think Rodney's going to fly off the handle that it's him.
Okay. Fair enough. I can agree with that. Absolutely. So that pretty much wraps up this edition of the Survivor After Show here on AfterBuzz. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll be back next week with James, Keaton, somebody. You're welcome back, too.
We'll see.
I think I'll be here. I'll be here. Sure, I've been here every week.
Tune in next week to find out.
I said I'll be here. I said I would be consistent on this show. So we're having a consistent show this year, this season. So anyway, Jeff, where can we find you?
You can tweet me and find me on Instagram at Jeff_Thurm and tune into Reality Reunions interview series here at AfterBuzz.
Awesome. Cool. And you can find James Wallington on Twitter and Instagram at James Wallington. You can also find Keaton Marchie on Twitter and Instagram, I believe, at Keaton Marchie. Her last name is spelled M-A-R-C-H-I. James Wallington's name spelled, I guess, the way you would sound it. And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram here. Twitter and Instagram at Nandovel, N-A-N-D-O-V-E-L. You can also find me here at AfterBuzz at other shows. Walking Dead season finale this Sunday. Nice little teaser.
Nice.
We also got like Bates Motel, Blacklist, and a bunch of other. Hey guys, also before I go, just rate and comment. Feel free to let us know how you think. And that's pretty much it. Thank you so much. Take care. See you next week.
Thanks for having me.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.